How many know we need to be here for each other? You know, we're a family. A family takes care of each other. Amen. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. And by this shall all men know you are my disciples, because you have what? Love one for another. And the love we're talking about is the highest love. Amen. It's the love of God. We love each other with the love of the Lord. Amen. Because our hearts are filled with his love. Amen. And that's an unhypocritical love. It's an unselfish love. Amen. It's not a love with an agenda. It's a love that's just, I just love you because I love you. Amen. Because I love you for who you are, even. Isn't it amazing that God would love us? Amen. First. And even when we were yet sinners, and while we were in transgression, while we were enemies in our hearts to the Lord, he loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us. Jesus loved us that much that, you know, we talk about, and I was thinking about this yesterday, how Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this, that a man would give his life for a friend. He laid down his life for a friend. And yet Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. And we were all enemies at one time. And praise God, we're reconciled because of the sacrifice, because Jesus was willing to pay the price for our sin, that we could go free. Isn't that amazing? Does he not deserve our best? Does he not deserve the rest of our lives? Does he not deserve that we would offer our bodies back to him as a living sacrifice? Amen. And bear fruit for him, to bring glory to him, to love God back the rest of our days. I think that's a pretty cool thing. Amen. I love serving the Lord. I love, you know, honoring the Lord. And I look for opportunities. And, you know, you don't have to look very far or very hard to find an opportunity. Amen. To share the love of God. We're living in a sin-sick, broken world. Amen. And people are desperately crying out for love, for acceptance, for light. Amen. They just don't know where to turn. So often what happens is we turn to each other and we try to find that light in others. Amen. And we have to be careful, because sometimes that light in other people is not the true light. How many know there's an artificial light? Amen. But the true light is Jesus Christ. I mean, he is the light of the world. And Christ in you, amen, makes you his lamp. Amen. To be a light also to this world around us. So God has called us to partner with him. Amen. Because there are many people that are really searching right now. They're searching for answers. They're searching for heaven. Amen. They're searching for love and fulfillment and acceptance and identity, really. There's a huge identity crisis that people don't know who they are. So they go around and they explore this and that, and they sample this and that, because they're just trying to discover, who am I and where do I fit in this world? How many have ever tried to fit into this world before? Amen. How many know that if you're a child of God, you're never going to fit the pattern of this world? So quit trying to. Amen. We're kingdom citizens, right? We are born again of a new order completely. Hallelujah. God didn't just patch up the old man. He gave you a new heart. Amen. And put his spirit within you and calls you sons and daughters, and that we are now citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. Our first citizenship is in heaven. Amen. But while we're here, we also have responsibility, amen, to be good stewards and be good citizens in this nation as well. Amen. How many know that if the nation goes well, it goes well for us too? How many believe that the Christians need to be involved, amen, and making a difference, being salt and being light in this nation, amen, so that God in his mercy will intervene? We talked about it this morning again about prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Amen. Then the Lord said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Does God want to forgive our sin? Does God want to heal this land? Can God heal this land? So let's pray. Let's humble ourselves, seek his face, and let's make sure, amen, that we turn, all right, from our wicked ways, that he may first have mercy on us. Amen. We need restoration, don't we? We need reformation. And only God can change America. How many know only God can make America great again? Amen. Now, he may use people, amen, in the process, but we have to call on him, amen, because the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, the Bible says. So we need to pray for our leaders, amen, and pray that God will raise up righteous men and women, amen, to take positions of influence over us here, positions of authority. Hallelujah. Well, how many know there is hope? in the Lord. Do you believe there's hope today? We're living in a world where there seems to be so little of that. You know, so many people are hopeless. And so people are trying to help each other cope, amen, with the things that happen in life. You know, somebody was here, kept hearing over and over again, follow the sunshine, as people will say. Well, we need to drop the U and add an O in there, amen. Follow the sunshine, follow the sun, amen. Because, you know, the sunshine is only conditional, right? I mean, if it's a sunny day, then you can be happy. But what happens when it starts raining again, amen? So we need to be really pursuing the Lord, because He's the only one that can truly satisfy the deepest longings of everyone's heart. And you're only going to find your completion in the Lord. Amen. And so people are looking for each other. They're looking for a source of light, a source of hope in others. Amen. And sometimes people encounter Jesus in people and they're not sure what it is, but they know that there's something different and there's something good. And there's a peace that you possess that, you know, I don't see in others, you know, or many others. I mean, you know that God has a remnant today. Amen. And God has a people here, and He has strategically placed you here, even in the Northwest, for such a time as this. So I don't think that we all need to bail ship and run out. I think we need to stand our ground, amen, and pray and seek God's face and call heaven into this place, amen, because God can shake a nation, amen, and God can turn the Northwest around, amen, in a moment of time, hallelujah. How many know that God can revive nations, like, overnight? Amen. Because the people are seeking the Lord and they don't quit. They don't give up. Sometimes, you know, we can become weary in well-doing and we can quit sometimes on the verge of a miracle. So God wants us to pray through, pray and believe. Amen. Until you see. The psalmist said, I would have lost hope had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so we need to believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in America again. Amen. We're going to go through some hard times, but I believe it's going to cause more and more of God's people to wake up and to look up. Amen. And to call on the Lord. And when we begin to do that as a church again, come on, God will hear from heaven. I'm confident of that. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about hope, the world's view of hope is really based on uncertainty. You know, there's no guarantee, in other words, you're going to get what you hope for in the world, right? Whether that be a career or, you know, riches, a family, maybe even good health. The world hopes for these things. And yet the hope of the world is really based upon uncertainty. And so it's not really hope at all. What it is a wish. I mean, you know, there's a difference between a wish and actual hope. Amen. The hope the world offers is nothing more than that. It's a wish. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, this was Solomon, of course, that wrote this, who God had given such wisdom and riches above any man. And he took a look at things in life, you know. How many have been doing that? We call it soul searching, or just kind of trying to figure it all out, what's going on, and taking that time out to look. And he's thinking how so much of this doesn't make sense that's going on. It seems like it's empty. All these things that I've pursued, he said, in my life have turned out to be empty. They've left me empty. They didn't satisfy the power, the influence, the riches, you know, the pleasures, seeking pleasures. If I can just have another pleasure, I'll be happy. And how many know that none of those things are going to make you happy? Amen. And you can wish for those things, but they're temporary. Amen. They're fleeting. And there's no U-Hauls, right, going to heaven. Amen. So we have this moment. We have this window of time, this opportunity now to make the most of the time God has given us, to make your life count in eternity. Amen. When we take our last breath, we cannot go back and redeem anything. You cannot change anything. But you can hit the reset today and change your course. Amen. To pursue the Lord and His will for your life. In Ecclesiastes 9:11, he said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. He's saying this doesn't make sense. The swift, the fastest should always win. But that doesn't always happen. nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. Now understand that Solomon is looking at the world from an earthly perspective, from a human perspective, amen, an unregenerate mind. And so we know that, again, in this world, our hopes, you know, in this world, to be anything, to be happy, to be successful, to have a nice car, a nice house, a nice family, all the things that the American dream, whatever you want to call it, you know, they are wishes, amen? And wishes are not necessarily going to be, amen, a fulfillment. It could happen, amen? But there's a difference in the hope. I want to give you the difference between a wish and a hope. Are you ready for this? Hope expresses a desire for something that is possible or likely to happen. When we hope in the Lord, that is a sure thing, amen? While a wish expresses a desire for something that is unlikely or impossible to happen. And of course, I want to quote from one of my mentors in life, Jiminy Cricket. When you wish upon a star, you know, can I suggest to Jiminy that that's not a good idea to wish upon a star? Amen. I'm not putting your hope in Jesus. Amen. But, you know, in the world, that's what we do. We wish for things and we hope. And how many have had just in your imagination, wouldn't it be nice to have a house like this and live in a place like this? And sure we have, right? And, you know, God's not opposed to having nice things. Are you with me there, right? But the problem is that sometimes we're seeking nice things, but we're not seeking the God who gives all good things to enjoy. Amen. And if we find satisfaction or contentment in the Lord, then we're not going to be so preoccupied with trying to fill up a hole that you can never fill up in your heart and with things. Because if you find contentment in the Lord, you'll know that true riches are the Lord Himself. He is your exceeding great reward. He is my joy. Amen. He is the one that fulfills me. He is the one that satisfies me. If you can't find satisfaction in the Lord first, nothing else is ever going to satisfy you. Are you hearing me? It'll be like so many that are just pursuing more and more because I got what I wanted. There must be more. So I'll pursue more. And maybe if I get a little bit more, I'll be a little more happy. How many know there's a lot of suicide among the top? Because they have discovered that it didn't satisfy. It didn't make them happy. And so there's a desire in us to be happy. And you know, God's not opposed to happiness. But where we find our happiness is vitally important. He can make you happy. He can make you blessed. Amen. He's the one that blesses you to be extremely happy, right? Or even envied. The Lord blesses His people with true joy, lasting peace. Here's another explanation of hope. It's a desire accompanied by an expectation of or belief in fulfillment. So hope is an expectation of fulfillment. We have hope in the Lord. How many are hoping, amen, and have your hope in the fact that Jesus will keep His word? Amen? That He will do what He said He will do. That if you call upon Him, you'll be saved. How many are putting your full faith and confidence, your hope, in Jesus alone? And not yourself. How many have discovered that when you put your hope in yourself, well, you can disappoint yourself quite often. You can let yourself down quite often, amen, and quite easily. But if you're hoping in the Lord, you'll not be disappointed. You'll not be ashamed. We sing that song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." Well, we hope it goes well for you. But, you know, for a lot of people, Christmas is not really that happy of a time because it brings back a lot of memories of lost loved ones along the way or things that have happened around that time. These are like little landmarks and reminders, you know. And but we have to understand, again, that hope and happiness are not found even in those things that we do, even the traditions that we may practice. But as a believer, we have this hope. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." Hallelujah. Through the Holy Spirit, we are connected, amen, to the Father. We are one with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. We are connected to the olive tree. Hallelujah. The Lord who supplies all of our need. Amen. The Lord who satisfies us. Hallelujah. And we hope because the way into the holiest has now been opened. Amen. The way into God's throne is now open to us. We were just talking about it this morning. Bruce was talking about it at Sunday school about how we underestimate, you know, the importance and the power of prayer. You know, how God delights in our prayers and He wants to hear. We should be praying more. Amen. If we really believe, we really have faith that God hears our prayers, we pray more. Amen. And we wait on God's timing for things. Amen. But just because you prayed something a year ago doesn't mean the answer's not on its way. You just keep on sowing. Amen. Keep on watering. Keep on believing. Never become weary in well-doing. In due season, right? You're going to reap. When Jesus came, amen, He came to bring real hope. Not a wish, not wishful thinking, but true hope. And it's about God taking on Himself the form of a human being, coming in the likeness of Adam. Amen. Yet without sin. God incarnate. God in flesh. God becoming a man. Amen. Dwelling among us. Hallelujah. And He was very much 100% God and 100% man. Amen. And so Jesus is the one that really brings the true hope into this world. He is the hope of the world. Amen. It's not going to be found in things. And isn't that true, Anita? We realize, we're reminded, amen, how temporary things are and how quickly things can change. But if your hope is anchored in Christ, if your heart is set upon the Lord, if you understand that you and I are a pilgrim people, we're passing through, amen? Here we have no continuing city, but we're living for that which will be. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, Theos, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. This is a creed that was placed in the Word of God. Amen. So the early Christians could have a train of thought and doctrine. Amen. That they could understand through the creeds. Amen. What the faith is, because there were many that were coming in, even in the early church, and perverting, amen, the doctrines. So they set out certain creeds to keep people on track so that they would hold fast to the faith that was once and for all delivered, amen, in the very beginning. Now, Jesus came, hallelujah, to a broken world. He came really at a time when the world was in one of its darkest times. It wasn't as we sing the Christmas carols and we send the cards, and those are all great, but it was not a happy time. It was a time of misery and suffering. And God's people, the Israelites, were under such persecution and Roman tyranny, you know, that they were at a place where there was almost like no hope left, except that they did believe that there was going to be a Messiah that would come and rescue them. And Jesus shows up incognito, a child, a babe in a manger. Amen. Out in the back 40, in a small town called Bethlehem Ephrathah. Amen. Which means a house of bread, right? And isn't it interesting? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. But He came at the darkest time in history. And much of the Christmas message today really has been turned into a fairy tale. But when Jesus appeared, it was a very dark time. Remember, David's kingdom had fallen. And the people were living under this rule, Roman rule and oppression. But during this very dark time, isn't it interesting how sometimes it's how it works, that you find yourself, have you ever found yourself in those dark places in life, the dark seasons in life, right? Some will call it the dark night of the soul. Well, I've been in a few of those, you know? And all you can do is hold on with hope, amen? That God's going to intervene. God's going to come at His appointed season, and He's going to rescue, and He's going to turn the bad around for good. Amen? Because He can do that. And so we hold on to our hope in Him because He is faithful and true. As a matter of fact, God is actually committed to you. Did you know that? As His children, He's fully committed to you already. We have to believe that. Because sometimes we base that upon, you know, how God is towards us on our performance. But it has nothing to do with how well I do. It's about God being faithful. That's who He is. And God is faithful to you. Amen? And so God is the one that took the initiative to reach out to us when Jesus came to this world. Amen? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we need to remember it was the love of God displayed for us in Jesus Christ. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. He came to be our sacrifice. God came in the person of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God to pay the price for the sins of the world. That's the Christmas message. Hope has come. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Huh. Unto us a son is given. Who is the child? It was Jesus. Amen? The Son. Who is the Son? The Son of God. Son of God, Son of man. Amen? A child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. Remember, wonderful means what? It means miracle. It's a miracle. Amen? Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I think this is pretty clear, amen, that Jesus is God. Amen? Incarnate. He is called Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. He is a miracle. Hallelujah. Born of a virgin. Never knew a man. The Holy Spirit came upon her. Amen. And that which was born in her was born of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because the blood of that child had to be pure. It could not be tainted by Adam's line. Amen. And so the blood in that Christ, amen, that child would qualify, hallelujah, to pay for the sins of the world. And yes, Jesus lived a sinless life, went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He has ascended, amen, to heaven at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And from thence, He's coming to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. He's coming to rule and He's coming to reign. Jesus will return, this time not as a suffering servant, but as a reigning king. Amen. Not as the Lamb of God, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Oh, every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And here is the prophecy given to Isaiah. Spoke of the Christ child. Isaiah 11:1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And literally it means a shoot will spring forth from the stump of Jesse. What is it talking about? It's talking about life sprouting out of brokenness and hopelessness, out of death. It's a dead stump, amen. But out of that stump, amen, would come resurrection life. Hallelujah, amen. How many know Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, amen. And so here's the New Living Translation, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Again, in a time of hopelessness came hope. Yes, a branch bearing fruit from the old root. How many know, praise God, miracles still happen today? We serve the God of miracles. Hallelujah. So don't despair, amen, when things appear to be dark in your life. Because it's sometimes in the darkest times that the dawn comes, amen. It's usually, as they say, darkest before the dawn, amen. So your dawn will come if you continue to hope in your God, because He is faithful. Now, it may not appear the way you expect it to, but I do know this, that whatever God does is perfect. He's perfect in all of His ways. I think the manufacturer knows the product better than the product knows itself. Amen? So we need to come to a place where we lean back in His arms and let go and trust God and know that God's got it. I just need to commit myself to Him, commit my way to Him, trust Him. He's going to bring it to pass in agreement with His will. If we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He will what? Make our path straight. Hallelujah. That's who He is. He doesn't change. Amen. We have to get into agreement with what God has promised. Put our faith in His promises, and His word is always true. Amen. So another name given to Jesus is Dayspring, which means literally dawn. Right? Luke 1:78, the Dayspring, dawn from on high, has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And Matthew 4:16 says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Hallelujah. Jesus is that light. Amen. The light of the world. Hallelujah. So who are the people who sat in darkness? Well, historically, it was talking about the Galileans, right? The inhabitants of Galilee, and they lived in this spiritual blindness, this darkness, because there was no revelation. Remember, there was no revelation, no word of God for like over 400 years. It was in a very, very dry, you know, time spiritually, and out of nowhere, it seemed like, in the midst of the darkest time, where there was like little or no hope left, the dawn comes, the light comes. Just like the dawn comes into our hearts. When we were in the darkest place, no hope. And the Dayspring on high, and man has come alive in me. Hallelujah. He lives in me today. I have hope because I have the God of all hope living in me. Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Today, those who sit in darkness are those, of course, who are without Christ in this world. And that's why you and I, who know the truth, amen, need to be seeking the Lord for the opportunities to share the hope that we have. Amen. And we should be abiding in the Lord to such a degree that people will actually ask us even. They will see the difference in our lives. They will witness the peace, amen, the supernatural peace. They'll witness the fact that you don't fall apart over spilled milk, amen, and that you have a hope within you that is steadfast and sure because your hope is anchored in Christ alone. Amen. And He is the foundation of your life. And no matter what happens around you, you're not going to be shaken. Amen. At least not off your bearings. Amen. Your house is going to get hit at times. Amen. But if you're founded in Jesus, if you're solid in the Lord, amen, even though the wind may whip against you and the rain may beat against your house, amen, you know you're founded, you're grounded in Jesus Christ, amen. And He is the solid rock upon whom I stand, amen. So put your trust in God, and the world needs to see an example, amen. Instead of us going around complaining about our situation, let's just say we'll give God the praise. We're going to trust the Lord for this one too, amen. It's not, Lord, what am I going to do? It's, Lord, what are we going to do today? Amen. What are we going to do about this? I'm not alone. The Lord is with me, and He has all the wisdom that we need if we'll ask for it. He has all the power we need if we'll ask for it. Yeah, He'll show you the way. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So without the Lord, there's no spiritual light. There's no spiritual life. And the good news is that no matter how hopeless your situation appears, no longer how dark the night, no matter how badly you've sinned, no matter how badly you've fallen. How many have sinned after you became a Christian? Amen. Every hand in here should go up. Amen. So what happens is when we sin, the devil comes around and clobbers you over the head and rubs it in your face. And he tries to get you to take a hold of that condemnation. Amen. Instead of running to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He just wants you to walk away wounded. Amen. And accept the fact that, or at least the lie, that God doesn't love you anymore because you blew it. Immediately we turn to the Lord. Amen. Immediately we call upon the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. Wait for your dawn, because the dawn will have come. Your dawn will appear at its appointed time. We're living again, as you know, in another dark time in history. It's getting darker. But now is the time for you and I to shine. This is our time to shine, church, because we are lights. We were made for the night. We are to light up the night. We're not to run away from the darkness, amen? We're to light up the darkness. We're to be influencers in this world. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, you go into your home, into your workplace, into the store, wherever you find yourself, you be light, amen, there. You be a blessing, amen. I pray, Lord, make me a blessing. Like the old song says, that out of my life, Jesus will shine, amen. And each one of us is gifted a little differently, but you need to discover who you are in the Lord, who He is in you, and what He's called you to do, because now is your time to rise and shine. Why? Because it's not something that's coming one of these days, but your light has come, because Christ is your light, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen. Even as He was speaking of His ancient people, Israel, we in Christ, amen, have become one new man, Jew and Gentile, hallelujah, in Christ, amen. Now you hear me today? And therefore, we are the light of this world, because we have the light shining on the inside of us. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. Oh, so our light should be obvious. And your work should be obvious to the world. That you what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So what are lamps designed for? It's not a trick question. What are lamps designed for, right? We're designed to light up, right? The night. Okay. Now listen to this. I love this because I hold on to this a lot. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Amen. In the world. And here it is. This is that one I just quoted, Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yes, we see the darkness coming upon the peoples. Amen. But it shall not come upon you. Why? Because we have Christ. We have the light. This is our time to shine, folks, right now. Do you understand? Time is of the essence. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Jesus is coming again. Amen. And God wants you to be an expression of His love in this world. Amen. People are wandering around, groping in the darkness, looking for some hope, some light. Amen. Some love, some acceptance. And they don't know where to go, so they look to one another. Are you hearing me? But we need to look to the one, the man Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. And that the light of Him, the light of Christ, will shine into our hearts. That He will light up our night. Amen. And then we'll be an expression of His light in this world. Amen. As we love people with the love of the Lord. Amen. Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And love people, deliberately love people. Amen. With the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do something with what God has given you. Do something with the gifts that He's given you. Amen. Look for ways that you can express, amen, your love to the world around you. Hallelujah. And God will work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. So just do it without complaining. Amen. Because sometimes if you've been involved in ministry, yeah, there's been a few times I've had to repent. Just saying. Because, you know, it gets tough sometimes. Sometimes you can't do anything right in some people's eyes, you know. And they don't understand everything that's going on, but God sees it. But I just need to let things go, forgive people, and move on. You know what? God didn't tell me to win a popularity contest or like make everybody like you. He just said, love people. Just love people. Whether they love you or not, love them. Amen. Be an expression of His love in this world. Hallelujah. And that's the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's no more powerful force in the universe than the agape, the love of God. You know, that love of God can melt the hardest stone. Amen. God's love can break through. Amen. That hard shell and break through and find right where you live. Hallelujah. I know I was there once. Hallelujah. I was bitter. I was angry. I was nasty. And because I was just full of hate and unforgiveness. And yet God broke through. His love broke through. And God took the veil off my eyes and gave me a good dose of my own ugliness and my own attitudes and my own sinfulness. And when I saw what I really looked like in the eyes of God, I was broken. I was ruined. I knew I was a mess. Amen. And I, oh God, please have mercy. God, please forgive me. And guess what he did? He forgave me. Guess what he did? He filled me with his Holy Spirit. And guess what else? He raised me up and made me a mouthpiece. Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the world will say, now, isn't that the carpenter's son? That can't be. No, that can't be the same guy I used to know back in high school, you know. But God has done a miracle. And that way people will see the power of God demonstrated in a life that has changed. And that's why we need to have grace for other people who are wandering around, who are lost, and who may be different, amen, and look different and dress different and have different ideas. But how many know that God loves those people too? Amen. God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus wants to save people. And he's given you and I the responsibility to preach the gospel, to be light, to be salt, to be influencers in this world. So we need to be lit before we can light up others. Amen. So we worship in spirit and in truth. We ask God to give us oil in our lamps. Amen. Keep the lamp topped off. Amen. The lamp is no good if it doesn't have any oil. Amen. We don't need any parade soldiers here. Amen. God's looking for some combat soldiers. Amen. He's looking for some people that can get into the trenches. Amen. And get out there with the people and love the people enough. Amen. To maybe get your feet dirty in the process. Amen. But know that God loved them so much that even Jesus walked this world and he went to the people that nobody else wanted to talk to. He went out of his way to talk to the woman at the well. Amen. The outcast, the half-breed. Because God so loved people. We need to love people with the love of the Lord, and we need to pray, God, give me your heart for people. Give me your heart for the lost. Help me to see things the way you do. Change my heart, God. The world is still in spiritual darkness, but the Lord is going to return in glory. Hallelujah. And he's going to shine on Israel. He's going to establish his throne, amen, in Jerusalem. And he's going to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. It shall be in Zechariah 14:7, in be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Hallelujah. Even so. Come, Lord Jesus. And in that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. Amen. So the Lord has given us now charge, the commission to go into all the world, to be light. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. So when people believe there is no hope of a better day, what happens? They can easily become discouraged, depressed, hopeless, and even suicidal. How many know there's suicide like never before now in our country and around the world, really? Because of hopelessness. And yet we have hope. They may just decide to cast off all restraints. That's another way people respond to hopelessness. It's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'm just going to live a party life. That's how I used to think. And then guess what? I was never happy. I was never satisfied in that either. That didn't work. I'm so glad I don't have to get up in the morning, amen, and bow down to the porcelain God and, you know, pay homage because I'd been up last night and getting drunk and doing stupid things and then saying I did what? Aren't you glad to wake up in the morning and feel, you know what, I don't have a hangover to the morning. As a matter of fact, I can drink of the wine of His presence and be delighted in the Lord and never regret it, amen? And He says, you come into my table, amen, come to my table and dine with me. Hallelujah. I'll take you to the banqueting table. Amen. My banner over you is love. I want you to come and have fellowship with me. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Amen. If you hear my voice, open the door, church. Open the door, church. Amen. And I'll come in. Hallelujah. And we'll have fellowship. We'll delight in one another. Hallelujah. How many of the Lord delights in you? That's true. He delights in His people. Hallelujah. So just know that God has opened the door for you. Amen. He's knocking, but He says, you're the gatekeeper. It's your responsibility to open the door. Do yourself a favor. Open the door and let Him in. Ephesians 5:15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Why? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Mm-hmm. How many here know what the Lord wants you to do? You know what God wants you to do? If you can't raise your hand, I would suggest that you get alone with God. Amen. And pray until you get a word from God. And God says, this is what I want you to do. Are you hearing me? So we're redeeming the time. We're not wasting the time God has given us. Our life, as we was brought up yesterday, is just that little dash between the dates. So quickly. We don't know. Some people live long lives. Some people live a short life. But everybody has that dash. Amen? You want to make that dash count. Because again, you can't take anything with you except what you've done for Jesus. Amen? If you feel you're living in the shadow of death, then come into the light of Christ. There's only true hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll finish with this. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no hope. Amen. He is our hope. He is God, our hope. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Father, we pray Your hedge of protection around this congregation, each one of us, Lord. Watch over us, protect us from harm, deliver us from evil. We pray that You'll keep us in Your perfect peace. And we pray, Lord, that You will motivate us with Your love, Father God, that You will stir up our hearts, Lord God, to love and to good works. For Your name's sake, that we might be light in this world for You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.